I are here to render final military honors to fallen comrades. Military honors will consist of the playing of taps, bowling, and presentation of flag. During the playing of taps, the civilian hand salute is the right hand over the heart. For any current or prior service member, please render the proper hand salute. At this time, if you're physically able to stand for military honors, please stand.
want to thank everyone here for coming to honor Harold. His family's done a lot to mine for a long, long time. May we have a prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you for this day, for this family to show their final respects for the family of Harold. Father, thank you for all the blessings you gave us. I ask your Spirit to comfort the family, and especially Dale that was so close to his brother. They were like best friends and brothers all of the years that I've known them. Father, touch each and every family member here and friends with your Spirit to comfort them. Thank you for your Son that gave his life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Harold was born on July the 28th, 1931. He passed from this life August the 21st to be reunited with Georgia, whom he loved so much, with his family beside him, especially Kelly and Julie there with him at that time. Harold was one of seven children of George, Perry, and Liza Price. When Harold was somewhere between 8 and 10 years old, his family moved to Lomita, California, where his father worked in the shipyards building ships and his mother, Liza, built airplanes during World War II. Then they moved to McFarland, California, where George became a union laborer in construction public works, and Harold worked with his father for a short time building the Bryant Kern Canal. He told me about that several times. When he was 17 years old, he went to work for the Kern County Fire Department. And when he became 18 years old, he was drafted into the Korean War, where he was stationed at West Point and Greenland, and his job in the Army was a truck driver. After the 2 years in the Army, he was released from his service and went back to work for the Kern County Fire Department, where he worked there for 33 years until he retired in 1986. Harold had a full life. He was busy. When he lost Georgia in 2012, it really affected him greatly. I was there, right? I did the memorial service for her. I did Kelly's wedding. That was 11 years ago, I guess. Seems like yesterday. And Harold had a lot of hobbies. He liked horses and mules, and he had antique cars. He was one of the founders of the Kern County Gun Club. And he helped me work on a bunch of my guns. He tutored me in shooting and a lot of other people over the years. He taught me a lot of tricks with guns that he, as a trap shooter, gave videos to me and everything. And I could shoot pretty good. Then I was poisoned with arsenic and mercury and I couldn't see anymore. I went out there to the trap range with him. He said I was shooting. I couldn't hit anything hardly. Hitting one out of three or whatever, you know. And anyway, he said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I can't see." But he tutored many people. He lived life to the fullest in every way. I saw him and Dale together almost every time I saw Harold, except when I went to Harold's house. Dale was there out at the shooting range with him, and their lives. Kelly told me that they couldn't take a vacation apart from each other all of their lives. Harold got married to Georgia Rush, which my family is related to for 150 years. They've been associates and friends. And Georgia and Harold had three children, Harold, Ray, Tab, Perry, and Kelly, and husband Tim Whitaker, and Julie, and husband Steve Zumwalt. Harold's family of the seven children were George, Harold, Pauline, Dale, Johnny, Shirley, and Joyce. And I may have left somebody out, Julie. Anyway, we've come here to honor a great man. He gave his life in public service, all of his life. That's what he did. He worked in public service, and when he built the Bryant Kern Canal with his father, he went into work for the fire department. He went into the Army for 2 years. Then he came back and worked the rest of his life as a firefighter for 33 years and retired in 1986. Had a long retirement. Not very many people live long enough to enjoy their retirement like that. I came down here, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, and I was out on the farm here. I live in up by Bishop, California, Nevada, actually. And I just slipped down here all of a sudden and to pick up some things, and here come Dale. He said, "My brother's dying. He wants to see him." I couldn't see him that week, so I went back, and then I came back down here and I saw him that Thursday, and Friday morning he passed away. I prayed with Harold, and we were good friends. To me, Harold always knew the Lord all of his life. As far as I'm concerned, he always was very respectful to God. Anything, anytime I was together, we prayed. And but I prayed with him at last to make sure that he knew the Lord and leave this life. When you leave this life, it's over with, you know. We get old, don't we? Now, you young people don't understand that at all. In the Bible, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, it's talking about aging. That's what it talks about, aging. It's the aging chapter of the Bible, and it tells us about our lives. It said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near to you, and you will have no delight in them at all." When you get older, everything is pain, isn't it? Even eating is painful. Sleeping is painful. Getting up is painful. Setting down is painful. And that's what it says in this chapter. Before the sunlight and the moon and the stars are darkened, what it means there, you can't see them anymore. You can't see. In the days that the watchmen, the guards of the house tremble, and the mighty men stoop, and the grinding ones stay idle. What it's talking about there is your molars. You don't have any left. Many people, all the time you get older, you don't have teeth to chew your food with. It says, "And the windows grow dim." You look out the window and you can't see exactly what's out there. "The doors on the street are shut, for the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will rise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song will sing softly. And furthermore, men are afraid of the high place, and of terrors in the dark. And the almond tree blossoms." What? Most of the almond trees are what color? The blossoms? White. The gray hairs? Blossom. Okay, that's what it's talking about. "And a grasshopper drags himself along, and a caperberry is infective." The caperberry was an aphrodisiac and also something to make you hungry, to eat. It doesn't work anymore. "For man goes to an eternal home while the mourners go about in the street." And Dale, or Harold, is already there. Dale came and talked to me and said, "Go talk to Harold. He wants to talk to you." Harold's there. He left and was reunited the 21st. Of this month. It says, "Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed and the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. is that the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Man is triune. We have body. We can all see each other. We see that we have bodies. We see people young and they grow up and they're robust, and not all of a sudden they start drooping and falling apart. The soul is that where you live. That's where you live. That's who you are, your soul. The soul is where all your memory is. The soul is what you will take with you in eternity. And the spirit is the life that gives that body. And when the spirit leaves, the body just goes to sleep. Just stops. But the soul lives on and the spirit goes. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, in verse 13 through 18 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, ignorant brethren, about those who are asleep or who are dead, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who have fallen asleep or precede them. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." This is a necropolis here. A necropolis is a city of the dead. Okay. But at the resurrection, it will burst open with life. It'll no longer be a city of the dead. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus you will be there with him, with the Lord forever." And in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, it says that our bodies are sown in dishonor. They die. They corrupt. It's sown a natural body that is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. The only example that we have of that actually is Jesus himself. He walked through walls, walked through doors. He has an atomic structure so lined up with his creation that he just passed through it. Through the dimensions. And we know there's at least 10 dimensions according to science. And we inhabit 3 of those dimensions, but when they're in the resurrection, you just go between all of them like angels. "So also written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual." We're born in this world. We're born basically, born to die. Because from our fathers, we get a blood that's infected with sin. It doesn't come from the woman, by the way. Women, you did not give the sin nature to your children. It comes from the Father. That's why Jesus could be virgin born, because he didn't have any human blood in him. It came from God. "The spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, is from the earth, and the earthy are from the earth, and the second from heaven. As is the earthy, so also those who are earthy, and it is heavenly. As with heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. For now I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable or the perishable inherit imperishable. Behold, I tell you a secret, a mysterion, a secret. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. our Adamic blood in us, we can't go see God with that blood in us. It has to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, the mortal will have put on immortality, and then will come about an old saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory, your sting? And O death, where is your sting? As we place Harold in that hope chest, he's not going to stay there. For a while, yes, but not forever. We all come to this point in our lives. We all need to prepare for that. Because eternity is a long time. Our souls and spirits don't die. They're forever. As you condole to the family, and as you think about Harold and your memories with him, think about his God also, and your God is our Creator. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the memories we have, and we know the word memorial means to remember. Help us all remember what Harold has done in our lives and for us. Help us to cherish those memories, but help us to understand that this isn't the last time we will see him. It's only for a time that we're lonely for that company and for the love and the graciousness that he showed us. Touch each and every family and life here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll have a song at this time. Announcement. Because of COVID-19, the coronavirus, we won't be able to have a family dinner or gathering afterwards. And sorry to that, but there's no way possible. Kelly, you've tried every way to get something, but it's just not possible. And thank all of you for coming too.
And tell them about YouTube.
What?
Tell them about YouTube.
YouTube. Oh. This memorial service will be on YouTube also, on Discover the Word with Dr. Jim on YouTube. So it'll be out there hopefully today. So you'll be able to watch it yearly. Are you ready?
Not yet.
Not quite yet.
Sorry.
All right.
Technical difficulties.
Kelly, did you want to say anything, or Julie, or Dale?
If anybody wants to say anything,
how about it? Yeah. Anyone want to say anything? I know Dale was meant a lot to all of us. Or, well, Dale, but Harold. Harold and Dale were like that to me.
I wasn't the best of kids because I butted heads with Dad a lot. But he did tell me one time, because he wouldn't let me do something, and I was mad. And he said, "You know, Kelly, you always have to let your head rule your heart. Never let your heart rule your head, and you got to continue to go forward. Never step back, but always go forward." And I've never forgot that. I was little. I mean, I'm talking little when I was mad. And I've never forgotten that. And I'm never going to forget him.
Once again, for coming, and God bless each and every one of them. Let His Spirit touch your hearts this day. This does conclude services for Harold at this time. If everyone would like to form a line passing by the casket, giving your last respect, honor to Harold, and then after doing so, giving your condolences to this beautiful family during these hard times. On behalf of Green Lawn Cemetery and the family, once again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel.
You're welcome.